This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, you're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashrin Johan. A motorcycle convoy comprising members of the National Union of Workers in Hospital Support and Allied Services, also known as NUWAS, and organised by Party Socialist Malaysia, arrived at the Health Ministry building yesterday. Now, this convoy, which began its journey in Penang, met with the Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin to deliver a memorandum about the plight of contract cleaners at government hospitals. But what exactly is the problem here, and what are the demands made by NUWAS and Party Socialist Malaysia? So joining me on the show to discuss this is one of the key organisers of this convoy, Chong Yishan. She's the Central Committee of Party Socialist Malaysia, PSM. Welcome to the show, Yishan.
Hi, thank you.
So let's start from the top. Tell me about this motorcycle convoy. What exactly was it about?
So like you have mentioned that we are coming from the Penang, we're starting from Bukit Metajam and all the way 530 kilometres, a group of makcik and pakcik who are riding the motor, going to the Putrajaya to send our memorandums, right? So we carry actually these simple demands. It's only three demands we carried all the way to the Putrajaya. The three key demands is actually, the first one is eliminate system contract,
okay,
and also reabsorb hospital cleaner back as a government permanent staff. And the second one is to ensure all frontliner, which means including the hospital cleaner, also getting the COVID allowance. And the third one, is to stop all form of union busting. Because why these three key demands is actually for very long time we've been talking about this, especially for the COVID allowance. We've been starting talking about this since when the COVID pandemic is coming in. But unfortunately, in the past two budget Malaysia, frontliner, although is getting allowance, but however, the cleaner did not get a penny of it, and nothing, not a single cent of the COVID allowance, although they're also working their heart, risking their life, working in the COVID ward, however, they didn't get anything. Not even, they're also having a problem also about, like, for example, PPE thing and stuff. They do not get enough PPE, masks, when during starting the pandemic of the COVID. So basically, right, they're risking their life like other frontliners, but they're not recognized it. That's why we always tell people that it's cleaner, you got frontliner, cleaner, you got frontliner.
Before we break down the various demands, right, because I do have questions about that as well. Let's talk about the convoy first. Why a motorcycle convoy instead of, let's say, other means of protesting, for example, taking it to the streets or marching to Putrajaya and things like that. Why specifically this motorcycle convoy from Penang to Putrajaya?
Actually, 80% of our worker, they are going to work riding motor.
Right.
80% of it. And then the rest of it is either they take public transport or they take van that's provided by the employer. So we can say majority they are taking motor. And why they taking motor? Why not other? It's because their salary is too low. It's only 1,200 per month. It's just a minimum wage. And with 1,200, they actually couldn't afford to buy a car. Not even to buy another motor.
Right.
Most of the workers that have the motor is heritage from their parents. And then just carry on with their motor and all this. So if you can see in our picture, you can actually see some very each motor together.
Right, that's right.
If you can tell in the picture, right? So that's actually the heritage from their parents. And then they carry on. And why? And it means they couldn't afford to buy a new motor. And that's why we felt this is the key vehicle transport that they only afford and they're able to buy and they transfer to the work. That's why we think it's very important to have to tell the people why we're using motor, why we're not taking bus, why we are not taking other way to do this convoy.
Right. Now, what exactly is the National Union of Workers in Hospital Support and Allied Services?
Okay, so in short, we say NUWAS, right?
Yes.
So it's NUWAS is actually set up right after Mahathir announced starting the privatizations policy in Malaysia.
So this was in the 90s?
Yeah, right, back okay. to that time. So back to that time, actually, in government hospital, there are some of the service they've been privatized. they've been contracted out to outsourced to contractor, to private company. Therefore, when they started the policy, this union is formed. That's why we are the union that is the worker in hospital support and alien service.
Right.
Actually, okay. In the nama panjang in Malay, it will be Pekerja Swasta Sokongan Hospital Kerajaan. So you see the swasta name is there. So it's already privatized. But what we're saying about the hospital support and alien service is basically like cleaner. They're supporting the hospital cleaner, Dobby, and clinical waste collector, and also like gardener, and those who are maintenance service staff.
Okay.
All is actually fall under this union as well.
Right. So it's not just because when a lot of people, when they think about hospitals and all of they are just thinking about the doctors and the nurses and the pharmacists and all that. But nobody really pays attention to the other people that keep the hospital running, like the cleaning staff, like the gardeners and so on and so forth. Okay. So how does Parti Socialist Malaysia fit into this? Because now on the one hand, you have NUAS. This is a union and they are fighting for the contract workers' rights and all of that. Where does Parti Socialist Malaysia fit into the picture?
I think from the beginning, when we, let's say the NUAS is actually dormant for quite some time.
Right.
I mean, they've been forming in 1987 and then later they've been dormant for quite some time. So in 5 or 6 years ago, there are a group of worker, hospital cleaner workers come to us and then seek for our help to resolving some workers' issue like late payment of salary and EPF and OT and so on. So when we are helping them on resolving their problem, we also noticed that this actually like late payment, like no increment of salary and all this, we find out more and more problem within this hospital cleaner. And we also find out that this is actually the root cause is about the privatization. This is not only the one-time issue, like it's only one employer having a problem, not late payment of the OT or something. It's actually root cause of we've been keep on changing our contractor. Therefore, they have so much of problem like this. So we notice this problem and we think that this is not supposed to like, what we call is like a firefighter. He's got fire and we go put out the fire. It's not like that. This is a root cause problem. Therefore, we think that we should have a union. We encourage them to form a union to fight this root cause, the problem, the very problem that happened in every hospital. And then when we go to the PSM, we go together with the workers and then we go and we check out, find out. We wanted to form a union. And then but later the Jabatan, they told us like, okay, actually you guys have a union already.
Right.
Then they introduce it, then we reactivate back. Okay. So we're helping them in that form and also empower them that actually how union can run, how can we educate other workers and all this. Yeah.
Okay. So at the end of it, you know, from Penang all the way to Putrajaya, I if I'm correct, as the convoy, you know, went from one state to one city to another city, more and more people joined. So at the end of it, how many people in total were part of the convoy and what were y'all doing along the journey?
We have actually, we've been like picking up, we arrived at the hospital and then we're picking up some people joining and some people like, they cannot join for all 4 days. So we've been like keeping collect and drop collect. So I think roughly about 20 to 30 people.
Okay.
25 to 30 people about that follow for all 4 days. Including workers and also supporters as well.
You know, earlier you brought up the key demands and what you said was y'all are focusing on three key demands when it comes to this convoy. The first one is eliminate the contract system altogether. The second one is to ensure that all of these workers, we are talking about the cleaners and all of them, they need to be eligible to receive COVID allowance because they have been on the ground risking their lives, just like the nurses and the doctors as well from day one of the pandemic. And the third one is to stop union busting. So let's go through them, right? When we talk about, you know, you want to eliminate the contract system, I think people need to understand what exactly is this contract system in the first place. So as it stands, when we go to a government hospital, right, and we see a cleaner, a gardener, you know, janitors and all of these, are they not considered government staff? How does it work?
Yeah, they are not considered government staff. That's the funny part. Right. You know, when the cleaner, they go out and they tell people, where do you work? Oh, I work in hospital, such a hospital Ipoh, for example. And people will thought, oh, then you are government staff because you're working in hospital Ipoh, it's a government hospital.
Right.
But no, actually, I am a private staff. Like, oh, when the government announcing in the budget, all government staff get bonus. Then they were thought, oh, then you're working in a government hospital, you're supposed to get a bonus as well. No, I didn't get it. I didn't get a single sense of a bonus when the government announced. So this is actually where the contract system means there is the weird part of the within the government primacy, they actually not all worker are government staff. They are workers who are private staff who are not enjoy the benefit as a government staff, such as bonus, such as a loan, and such as other benefit as well. So this is what we can see here, right? So the contract system, how it actually works, is actually because when every time the government, they will contract out the support service, like just now what I mentioned, like cleaner, Dobby, gardener, maintenance service staff, they will contract out to a main concession. And then the main concession will take up this contract and then they will subcontract out for certain service. For example, here we see it's cleaner. So they will subcontract out to another subcontractor so that this subcontractor will in charge of hiring cleaner, hiring everything. So this is how the whole things happen. And every time when we're changing the contractor, all the worker be working there, when the new contractor come in, they will hire back, rehire back as a new worker. So meaning we have a worker who been working there for 20 years or more, 25 years, they are even more.
Right.
That every time they're changing a new contract, their seniority is automatically lost.
Right.
And back to become a new worker.
Some people might be listening to this, right? And you know, like a lot of us, we work in private sectors and all. And some people might say, private sector, good, what? You know, got competition. And then you can make more money. Why you want to work government? They give very little money. Work in private can make more money. So it's a good thing, what? How do you respond to these sorts of arguments? What are people not understanding about this whole contract system?
Just like I mentioned, the government, KKM, is giving a contract to the concessions company. Okay, so I don't know what is the amount that they're given, how much they say you have to done this service. Let's say 100,000, for example, 100,000. So already go to the main concessions, and then main concessions already cut off part of it, and then they go out another part of it to the subcontractor, and then they cut to the second level of it, only the third level is the worker.
Right.
Not only the third level, because between that, you got supervisor, you got manager, you got all this. It's actually cut onto just a very little money until the hand, cleaner's pocket. So imagine if we cut off all these main concessions and also subcontractor, just direct use that money to pay our cleaner, then they can get all their increment salary. Imagine, I've been working there for 20 years, just 1 year, 30 ringgit, a 1 year, 30 ringgit increment. How many I can get already now? I've been working there for 20 years. We're not talking about like you have to increment for 100 or 500. No, we're not talking about that. We can negotiate about that. But just imagine, just only 30 ringgit, how much we can get for it. So if we do not have all these concessions, subcontractor, the budget money, the 100K, for example, can direct go to the cleaner's pocket.
Mm.
No need to went through all these concessions and subcontractor and all this stuff.
Right. And, you know, do these cleaners, right, under these private companies and private contractors and so on and so forth, do they get any benefits at all? Because you earlier mentioned that their salary is only 1,200. And as we know, 1,200 is way below the living wage in 2022, right?
Yeah.
But on top of that, right, do they get benefits like paid medical leave, annual leave, maternity leave, paternity leave, all these kind of things in the current contract system?
Yes, they do have very basic what is written in the Employment Act.
Okay.
Very basic. But for example, annual leave, very basic, how many days? Yes, you do have. They follow the Employment Act. That's correct. However, imagine you've been working there for 20 years. If you're working in a private sector, 20 years, by then, how many days of your annual leave?
Right.
Could be more than 20 days already.
Yeah.
What is your salary? Definitely will be increased, and your medical leave and so on. But like I mentioned just now, because they keep on changing the contractor, they be employed as a new worker. That's why they lost all this benefit, all this seniority. And then back to back is very minimum. Minimum annual leave, minimum public holiday, minimum all this. All is minimum. There's no increment at all. That's why this is where they do get the benefit, but it's very basic and it's not justified with their seniority.
On the show with me today is Chong Yishan of Parti Socialist Malaysia. After a break, we'll be discussing the significance of Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin receiving the memorandum from this convoy. I mean, is it significant at all or is it just merely political theatre? We'll be back with more on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashrin Johan, and on the show with me today is Chong Yishan, the Central Committee of Parti Socialist Malaysia, PSM. And we're discussing the recent motorcycle convoy from Penang to Putrajaya, in which the National Union of Workers in Hospital Support and Allied Services, also known as NUWAS, rode from Penang to Putrajaya to pass a memorandum to the Health Minister, Khairi Jamaluddin. And this convoy was organised and supported by Parti Socialist Malaysia. So, Yishan, one of the articles on PSM's thinkleft.net website reads, and I quote, "Contract system of the government has meant the breeding of poverty among a large segment of people." Now, Yishan, what is the connection here between the contract system and poverty?
Okay, I think when we talk about the contract system, it's actually quite a big lot because for a contract system, in the last year, November, there's a Tribunal Wanita Malaysia happened in November.
That's right.
So one of the judge, the judgments of, we're also part of this victim of this matter. So we are part of this Tribunal Wanita. And one of the judgments, she says it very clear. She says that the contract system make our worker as a modern slavery and bonded slavery. So let me explain a little bit why it's bonded slavery. Because when we you're having just $1,200, not even a living wage, just $1,200. Not you can't even live with $1,200 in a small town, actually. I live in a small town. I cannot live with $1,200, frankly. So imagine that those who are living in the big city, such as Penang, such as Ipoh, such as KL, imagine with that $1,200. Can you live with that? Cannot. So we are bonded slavery, and many workers are actually running out all their salary in half month. By 15, they're already running out all their salary. So in that case, they need to borrow from their employer so that they can fill petrol to go to the work, so that they can feed their children, so that they can pay their children's school fees and all this. So by the next month, then the salary also will less because they already borrowed from their employer. So it's really become form a circle of this that they could not escape from it. So this is what they bonded with that. It's a bonded slavery, clearly, in that case. And of course, with that bonded slavery, make them a modern slavery, which shouldn't happen in Malaysia, which is going to be a wawasan.
Right.
Okay, dah lupa wawasan tu. But it shouldn't happen in Malaysia now, that because we are already a country that we develop and all this, right? Mm-hmm. But it is happening now in Malaysia. And this is actually, is really, cannot do in that way. And another thing also, when we talk about the contract system, it's clearly stated in the law that saying that the contract system is supposed to be a short-term, temporary. So here, we are not talking about, they are working here, they are not a short-term worker. They are not a temporary worker. They've been working in the same place, same hospital, same job scope for more than 20 years. They are not temporary worker. They are not contract. They're supposed to be a permanent worker. However, there are some employer, they're trying to play this tactic, the name in the term of permanent worker, because I will renew your contract every time. Therefore, you are a permanent worker to us. But this is not saying that way. We see the nature of the work is not supposed to be that way. You're supposed to have the job security so that they will not gonna worry that every time when the employer wants to renew the contract, am I getting renewed? Am I not getting renewed?
What would a socialist solution to the contract system be?
I think as a PSM, Parti Socialist in Malaysia, we are the party who will always work with the classroom people, working people. Mm-hmm. And we've been always wanted to advocate to eliminate the contract system because we've been receiving a lot of cases also regarding the contract system, not only the hospital cleaner specifically, any other places also. Me myself is also a victim of a contract system as well. So we've been working on all this all the time. I think, and then in current law, we also see that For example, the current law is not favor to the employee, however, more favor to the employer. And also how the executions of the law as well, also a favor to the employer, not employee. And the union, the freedom to assembly that the union member have, although it's written in the law, however, it doesn't execute in the reality. So I think that as a PSM, if let's say we are in the power, I think this is a few key things, the things that we must look into it, and there will must some amendment of the law to ensure that the executions of the law is go together with it. Because that's why one of our demands that we need to stop the union busting, because we have so much of problem of the union busting, where just as simple as the employer, they will not allow you to attend any event of the union, but not strictly saying, they will just say those who attend a union event, you will be fired.
So this happens like quite frequently, is it?
Yes, when we start to reactive back the union, that's the time all this happening. Why we say about it? Why they are so afraid? Because when we starting the union, we will have our demands. The worker will unite, and we start to have our demand, because the worker know the problem, no increment, no all this. Then we will ask for our increment. We will ask for this and that. So the employer will scared that, right. Oh, how about they ask increment of salary? But this is our basic. That means they think about their benefit. They're scared that their benefit will be lost, because if you ask for increments of this and that. But this is actually a very basic for the workers, right? So they really do their hard work to ensure that the worker is not joining the union. Such as I say, if you join the union, you will be fired, you will get warning letter, and when you apply leave to attend the union event, for example, for this motor convoy, our worker apply leave to attend this convoy, all get rejected. Almost half of it get rejected. And they're using a very unreasonable reason, that just saying this and that. In fact, they know this. They don't want you to join that. And then, so this is what, and also they also treated, oh, I don't want to give you OT if you're joining the union event. And why the cleaner need OT? Because 1,002 not enough. That's why they need OT to get more money. If you cut off their OT, then they will lose part of their income to keep them survive. So that's why they know how can scare the workers not to join the union. And for example, for this convoy also, when we visit the hospital, there are workers come and welcome us or meet us, at least take photo with us, chat with us, you know, and we collect their problem as well. They already collect and we collect the problem, and then we want to send to the wedding carry Jamaluddin. But we can see is the management just standing right in front of the hospital to see who is coming out.
Right.
Check who is coming out so that they know, okay, these are the people who are coming out. And you tahu lah lepas tu. And then we have some hospital, there are workers who are brave enough to come. They come, and then later they got warning by the management.
I'm wondering, have memorandums like this, like the memorandum that was submitted yesterday, have memorandums like this been submitted in the past? And if there have been, why hasn't there been any changes?
It's good. It's really good. I have the same questions as well, actually. we've been submitted 5 memorandum, actually.
Okay.
5 memorandum in the past few years, past 5 years. So 5 memorandum submitted. Actually, it's quite similar issue in the 5 memorandum. Nothing much changed. It's just adding on more problem only. Adding more issues each memorandum that we submit. That's why if for those who see our PC yesterday, you can see our memorandum is like so double. So thick.
Right.
Because attach all her 5 memorandum and send to them. And that's I have the same questions with you. You know, why no change? Nothing changed. I think that's also really frustrating us, that we've been putting so much effort, we keep on sending a memorandum every time in different government, different Minister of Health. We've been sending a memorandum, but nothing changed, even getting worse, especially after the pandemic, getting worse.
Was this the same even during Pakatan Harapan's time?
Yes.
Right.
That's so far they did. But I believe that Pakatan Harapan will claim that they will say we are just only for how many days in the government, therefore they couldn't do much of it. But I think that no changing, no matter which party politics become a government. That's we can tell. Therefore, we think it should stop. No point that we keep on sending memorandum, but no action taken. You only receive our memorandum, but no action taken. So I think we really should do something that to ensure the government look into our problem seriously and promise and work to take actions on whatever we mentioned in our memorandum.
And are you confident that changes will happen this time around? Because yesterday, after the whole convoy, after it wrapped up in Putrajaya and all of that, one of the key members of Parti Socialist Malaysia, he has been a guest on this show before, S. Aruchelvan, he tweeted out the following, and I quote, "It was a historical moment to see the minister of health," he was talking about, "recognizing that cleaners are also frontliners. It was a victory for the brave cleaners who rode 530 kilometres. Now, I'm wondering, is this really a victory? Why was the health minister, Khairi Jamaluddin, receiving the memorandum a historic moment?
Because this is only first the minister of health to recognise that cleaner are frontliners.
Right.
Cleaner also frontliners.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the YB, Khairi is the first Minister of Health who recognize this. I think this is a very important message to every person, to the public, where before this is only we saying that cleaner is also frontliner. But now coming from the Minister of Health, I think that is a very historical moment. However, when it comes to the policy changings, right? Like previously, like I mentioned just now, we've been submitted previously 5 memorandum, right. Nothing happened. So this is like our 6th memorandum. We are counting in. So I think this is also important that you will always have to monitor whether the YB Khairi will do what he promised. Because he promised that he will meeting with the employer and find out what happened. And then later they will inform our union. And also I think this is something that he promised, and we really look into it to know a good news from him that he can do something. I think we will always monitor if, like what we mentioned yesterday, PC, if let's say YB Khairi did not fulfill his promise, we will call more makcik to ride the motor to come to Putrajaya again.
Fantastic. Now, what can the general public do to support this cause? Is there a role that the public plays when it comes to pushing for these kinds of things?
There's a few ways that we can do. First is please follow our social media. If you check hashtag cleaner juga frontliner, you can find our social media platform. That please follow our social media platform. If anything, we always update in there. We have Twitter and Facebook and also Instagram. We don't have TikTok yet, but we have this free. And makcik tak main TikTok lah.
Right.
And also, at the second thing is also, if you can support our issue, because we always have the union busting issue all the time. It's happened all the time. And we always will call for actions on our social media platform. So we always, if the public can help us with that to amplify our struggle to do the actions that we call for, then I think this is also super great. I think the third one is the most important, as YB Khairi already promised one thing, that he will do something. So public can also together with us to monitor, watch Khairi, whether he will do or he will not do, we will always monitor. And if he will not do, if he's not doing anything, when we call for actions, please help us to pressure the YB Khairi again to make sure that he's doing something to resolve our problem.
On that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Yishan.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Chong Yishan of Parti Socialist Malaysia on the recent Cleaner Juga Frontliner convoy from Penang to Putrajaya. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashrin Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.